reprisals from the Asian superpower. To talk about Martin's delicate dance with the Dalai Lama, we're joined by Charles Burton, a professor of political science specializing in China at Brock University. He also worked for several years as a counselor in economic and political affairs for the Canadian Embassy in Beijing, and he's on the line from St. Catharines, Ontario. Good afternoon, Professor.
Hi.
What was your reaction when you heard that Mr. Martin would meet the Dalai Lama?
Well, I was a little bit surprised, as we haven't had a sitting Canadian Prime Minister meet with the Dalai Lama before, but I think that a lot of Canadians want to show some sympathy with the plight of the Tibetan people, and I think there's a lot of popular support for the Dalai Lama meeting with our Prime Minister so that we can indicate that we stand with them in their struggle for freedom.
So you were surprised? You were not surprised? Was this one of those things where you say, hey, I know this politic here. I don't know if this is a good idea, if it is a good idea.
Well, it's a symbolic idea in the sense that I don't expect that there's anything substantive for the Prime Minister to discuss with the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama is, after all, not a political leader. And I think it's mostly about just meeting. I was surprised in that I didn't expect that he would do this, because in the past our prime ministers have not done this. But Mr. Kretcham met with the Dalai Lama when he was in opposition, but refused to meet him when he was prime minister. And I think even this time, Mr. Kretcham was approached and has not responded to a meeting with the Dalai Lama. I think that Mr. Martin wants to show that he's a different leader from Mr. Kretcham, and maybe that's also part of why he's decided to take this meeting.
And what do you think of China's reaction to this?
Well, I think it's predictable. I think that China is much more self-assured about its place in the world, and so a meeting between Paul Martin and the Dalai Lama is not something that they're going to get too hyped up about. They've made their protest, and I'm hoping that there won't be any form of retaliation. I don't think that one could imagine retaliation in terms of trade sanctions, but the kind of thing that they can do would be to say, refuse to give permission for us to continue with our developmental aid programs in the Tibet Autonomous Region. We have some CETA programs out there that deal with poverty alleviation and improving the agricultural productivity of their land, and if the Chinese wanted to do something to express their displeasure, that's the kind of action that they might take. I'm hoping that nothing will happen and that things will go on much as before.
Are those projects you're talking about in China or in Tibet?
Well, they're in the Tibetan Autonomous Region of the People's Republic of China, and so to get permission to do those projects in Tibet, one has to go through the Ministry of Foreign Economic Cooperation in Beijing.
And what is China worried about?
Well, I think that they're worried about the Dalai Lama gaining status as a legitimate political leader in Tibet. They want to maintain China's territorial integrity. They don't want the Dalai Lama to gain prestige as someone that should be the head of a country called Tibet, say. And aside from the Tibetan situation, there are other parts of China where there are significant movements towards independence. For example, Taiwan is one. But aside from Taiwan, there's also the Chinese Autonomous Region of Inner Mongolia, which many of the Mongolians there would like that to reunite with the independent country of Outer Mongolia and form just a country called Mongolia. And then there's the Uyghur Autonomous Region in the northwest, Xinjiang, where there are a lot of people there that would like to form a state called Greater Turkestan, which would also be separate from the Chinese state in Beijing. And so if if China shows flexibility on the one, it can lead to problems with the others, and so they take a very strong stance on the integrity of their nation.
What do you personally think of Tibet's cause?
Well, I have been to Tibet, and I'm distressed by the difficulty of transmission of their traditional culture. Because the Chinese government restricts the number of people that can study to be monks, and restricts education in the Tibetan language, you're seeing a culture which is not able to be transmitted to the coming generations. And so, to some extent, the traditional culture of Tibet, one could say, is being strangled, and this distresses me very much.
What would you want to see?
Well, I would like to see a Tibetan autonomous region where the Tibetans are in charge of their own affairs in a genuine sort of way. And I think that this is really what the Dalai Lama is proposing as well. He's not calling for an independent Tibetan state. He's calling for a region where Tibetans are in charge of things inside Tibet, but he would be prepared for China to continue to have sovereignty over Tibet and maintain defense and foreign affairs.
What are the chances of this ever happening with China?
I think the chances are pretty remote at this time because the Chinese think that the Dalai Lama's proposals are simply a screen for a continuing movement towards Tibetan independence. And so they're not willing to consider the Dalai Lama returning to Tibet under any conditions except the ones that Beijing has let out themselves.
So the Dalai Lama's cause is a lost one?
Well, I think that it's a continuing cause. If one saw the rise of a middle class in Tibet, Tibetans who have a notion of themselves as citizens with rights, including a right to self-determination, then you could see a political movement forming in Tibet similar to the kinds of things that happened in East Timor, and maybe someday, long in the future, China would see it as in their interest to give Tibet autonomy. But we're dealing with a lot of hypotheticals here, and the Tibetans in Tibet are mostly an economic underclass, and such middle classes exist in Tibet tend to be ethnic Chinese.
So one day it might be possible for Tibet to have its own referendum like Quebec.
It's not something that I see coming anytime soon. The Chinese stance on any kind of referendum is it would have to be a referendum of all the 1.3 billion people in China, and that would be the only referendum that would count for them in terms of determining whether Tibet should be autonomous. They don't regard the views of the Tibetans inside Tibet as sufficient.
Interesting that they brought Quebec into the picture yesterday when they were criticizing the Prime Minister.
Yes, I think they thought that this would make us mad, but actually the two situations are so incomparable that I think it just caused more outrage at the Chinese misunderstanding of the nature of our democracy.
It'll be interesting to see what happens when Martin does meet this man.
Well, let's talk again next week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Charles Burton, professor in political science at Brock University, and he worked as a counselor in political and economic affairs for the Canadian Embassy in Beijing for several years. It's 4:20.